Well, hello everyone. My name's John Paul. I'm AAA's car doctor, and welcome to another AAA Conversations With. And this time it's with the fastest guy that I know, Bob Tasca. Bob, thanks for joining us on AAA Car Conversations With.
It's always great to be on with you. Coming off an exciting weekend for our team, winning the four wide nationals and grabbing the points lead out there in Las Vegas. So you caught me at a good time.
Well, I it's always good. It's always good to win. And give us a little idea about the speeds. You were what, 328 miles an hour this weekend?
Yeah, we ran 331.77 miles per hour in the first round. We ended the day, it got a little warmer, so we had to slow it down a little bit, but it ran 328 change in the finals. I always tell people it's not even the speed that makes what we do so remarkable. It's how quick the cars are. So to put it into perspective, John, you know fast cars out there. So like a Mustang GT500 is, 0 to 60 in the low 3 second barrier. Now, those are some of the quickest times, on the street. We'll do 0 to 60 in a half second, 0.5. And we'll do 0 to 100 in under a second, 0.8 of a second. And that's what's really remarkable about these nitro funny cars, is just how quick they are. So we'll accelerate to, I ran last year, no, 2 years ago, ran 335 miles an hour in just over 3 seconds. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, I remember years ago talking to Don Garlitz, and it was a big deal when he broke 200 miles an hour. And he even said, I don't think anyone's ever going to break 300 miles an hour. And now 300 miles an hour is almost commonplace, right?
Well, and think about it. We're only going to 1,000 feet now.
Yeah.
So we used to be at a quarter mile running, 330 plus miles an hour. Now we run 330 plus miles an hour and 320 less feet. So they are making it harder for us though, John, because you do approach the limits of what can actually take place in 1,000 feet. I'm going to go on record saying I don't think you'll never see 400 miles an hour in 1,000 feet. And NHRA has taken pretty dramatic steps to slow us down with how they retard the timing systems in these cars. Because I can be honest with you, I'm sitting in it and 335 miles an hour is fast enough. I mean, Goodyear builds an incredible tire, but there are limitations to what can actually stay together at those speeds. And then God forbid, it's when things go wrong, we need X amount of distance to stop. And you got parachutes, you get a lot of things that help us, carbon fiber brakes. But I can tell you this, when you step off the throttle at certain racetracks, like Pomona, for example, real short, with both parachutes out on the brakes, you still don't think you're going to make it. That's how
Wow.
short the racetrack
Yeah.
is. But it's exciting. It's what we do. It's what I live for, to get in that car and go out there and represent Ford and all the NHRA fans and Ford dealers. And we did a good job this weekend on the birthday of Mustang. So my timing was good. 57 years old, Mustang was on Saturday, and we got to win the race on Sunday.
Well, that's fantastic. And let's talk a little bit about the preparation. You don't just sit in the car. You're a true athlete, and the work that the physical skill and what your body goes through. What's it like to accelerate from, 0 to 60 in half a second, let alone hit 300 miles an hour? Then what's it like when the chutes kick in?
Yeah, no, the acceleration part's fun, other than the fact you can feel the air get squeezed out of your lungs. I kind of take a deep breath and the about 6.5 G's compresses your chest. But the deceleration is what's hard. That's a real hit. It's -7 G's, so it's like a 13 G swing in the matter of 3.8 seconds. And when you do that over the course of a weekend, and we've had a car that's been so consistent, so those parachutes are working almost every run I hit the throttle, it beats you up in the car. So, for me, it's diet. I have a very regimented diet because weight is a big deal in these race cars. We get weighed in on Friday. The car's set up to my weight, and you don't want to have big fluctuations in weight. And then, you know, I'm not, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger as far as, you know, physical physique, but I'm in pretty good shape. You know, I work out at least four times a week, and you just want to keep your muscles tight. It's like anything else. We
yeah.
have to react in split second decisions. And when your brain sends an input to your foot or your hand, you want to make sure that, you know, you're physically, you know, up to par to be able to make the adjustments. And, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. And as a driver, team owner, you know, I want a team that puts me in a position to win. As a driver, I want to make sure that if my team puts me in that position to win, that I can cut a light, I can keep the car in the center of the groove, and I can get it stopped safely so we can bring it back around. And those are, you know, those are what a driver, great drivers out there do, you know, race in and race out. And it's just, it's exciting. You know, it's exciting for me because I haven't had a car this good in a long time. I mean, this is the best race car I've ever had, you know, at this point in time, you know, with the points lead. I know it's early in the year, but we got a race car that can go out there and win every time we roll into a race. And, you know, that's the goal.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about teamwork. I mean, you're behind the wheel, but you can't do it without the rest of the team.
No, in fact, I'm pretty humble. You know, I'm probably about 5% of the equation at most. You know, 95% is the team and the crew chiefs. You know, the team has to deliver the car right, assembled correctly, 37 minutes. It's torn down to a bare block, put back together again. There's hundreds of bolts, nuts, washers, you know, nozzles that all have to be disassembled and assembled correctly in 37 minutes. And then the crew chiefs have to make the right call. Because at the end of the day, you can be a great driver in an average car and you're average. You can be an average driver in a great car and you can be a hero. So, you know, I'm very fortunate, have an unbelievably dedicated group of guys. You know, Ford Motor Company, you know, my primary sponsor, you know, gave me the funding through these very difficult times where a lot of teams had to lay people off and really restructure their whole teams. And I was able to keep my whole team together. That's a huge reason why we've come out as strong as we have this season is these guys worked all winter trying to find, you know, hundreds, thousands of a second to go out there and win these races. And then Mike Neff and John Schaefer, my two crew chiefs, these guys are as good as it gets. They're truly the gold standard in funny car tuning. They've both won championships, both with, you know, DSR and John Force Racing. So to have two championship caliber crew chiefs making the decisions on this race car, it's going to be an exciting year for us.
Yeah, it really sounds it. And like you said, these races are won in hundredths of a second.
And I won Gainesville by 0.0001, 1/10,000ths
wow.
of a second. At over 330 miles an hour, you're talking about an inch. I mean, you can't even see it on TV. That's how close it is. But, you know, that's what makes what we do so exciting. And then truly, on any given Sunday, anybody out there can go out and win.
Yeah, it sounds exciting. It looks exciting when you're strapped in, and you're watching the tree start to change. Do you have any time to think about anything?
No, it's a subconscious reaction. I tell people when I speak, you know, in a public group, I'll say, okay, let's be honest with one another. How many people, when the squirrel or the rabbit runs out in front of you, how many people ran it over? You know, an X number of people have their hands up. I say, okay, that takes you out of the running to drive a nitro funny car. It's a subconscious reaction where we've all been behind the wheel and you've just, you know, reacted to someone jumped out in front of you, whether it was an animal or a car pulled out, and you reacted. And that's the entire run in a nitro funny car. It's a subconscious reaction because think about it, John, once we pass half track, we're covering a football field every half second, every 0.5.
Wow.
So if you try to process a thought, you're on the other side of the football field before it actually happens. So, you know, the best drivers out there under the highest pressure situations can react subconsciously and make the right input. you know, whether it's leaving or it's actually driving the car to keep it in the center of the racetrack. Because if you let the car drift, it's going to smoke the tires if it gets out of what we call the groove. And, you know, there's just so many great drivers in our class that when you have a chance, you know, to go out there in a final round and win a race, man, you know, as a driver, you know, the pressure's on you. You want to perform at the highest level. And, you know, that's what, you know, doesn't always happen. Trust me, I've been on the other side of it. You know, we're all human, but you want to go out there and give your team a chance to win.
Yeah. And just the, you know, just what you said about how quick it is, to kind of put it in perspective for the average driver, it takes them a half a second to a second to get their foot off the gas and step on the brake. Yeah. By then you're up to 250 miles an hour.
Yeah. Half a second where, you know, it's, you can't be a half a second late in anything in my class. It'll lead to a very, very bad day for sure. But that's what really, you know, physically, I think, you know, Formula One drivers and NASCAR drivers, you know, it's a much longer race, much more physically demanding. But our racing is absolutely zero margin of error. Like you have a bad pit stop, you have a bad, you know, couple of laps, you can make it up. In our racing, if I have a bad reaction time, it's over. I go home. And that's really what separates drag racing and makes it so difficult for you know, drivers to really succeed in it, is that you have to be perfect down to the 10,000th of a second if you want to win. And, you know, just look at what happened on Sunday. There was four cars that pulled up. It's one of the hottest races to win because you got to beat three other drivers, not one other driver in the finals. And, you know, Tim Wilkerson ran the quickest. He had the quickest run of all four of the cars that competed, but finished third. He finished third. You know, I finished first. Hagen came around him. And we did it because of our reaction times on the starting line. And that's what makes this sport, you know, so humbling.
Yeah, and like you said, the idea of doing it one-to-one in a normal race, but to do it in a four-wide race.
Yeah.
And is this your first four-wide win?
I tell you one, I always wanted to win in Vegas, and I always wanted to win a four-wide. I've run it up in a four-wide. I've been in the final quad, but I've never won it. So I got to check two boxes this weekend. I won in Vegas, which is one of my favorite places to race, and I won a four-wide, which is hands down one of the most hottest races to win of the year. So it was a big win for our team and grabbed the points lead. So we kind of had the hat trick this weekend, but you know, we'll enjoy it for a little while because we have this weekend off, and then we're back in Atlanta next weekend for a big race down in Atlanta.
Before I let you go, let's talk a little bit about reaction time. I think I was talking to, I can't remember who it was now. Might have been Leah Pruitt. And she said, you have the quickest reaction time of anyone she ever knows. And
you know what she said? Yeah.
And, you know, when the idea that you're, I can't even imagine, you know, when I watch the races on TV or the couple of times I've been up to New Hampshire, the timing that it takes watching the lights change and be able to take off, the races are won and lost then as well, right?
Yeah. No, I mean, reaction time these days has become a huge part of winning because the crew chiefs can get us close, and there's so many great crew chiefs out there and teams, and it comes down to the driver. A lot of times it comes down to the driver. And you know, someone asked me one time, you know, what do you think about right before you hit the throttle? And for me, it's not about living or dying, it's winning. The only thing going through my head in that moment is winning. And I think if you're thinking about anything else, you know, is the car going to be okay? Is it going to blow up? Is it going to smoke? If you're thinking about anything else other than completely focused on that light, you're not going to have a good reaction time. And you know, sometimes people see me, I could actually fall asleep in the car. Like if there's an oil down and I'm sitting there longer than normal, I could fall asleep in the car. And I think when you can get totally relaxed and not tight in any way, and you can just let your body react. Because the bottom line is, John, the human brain, I've studied this, we all see the light at the same time. The actual light going into the eye, into the brain, that happens at the same time for pretty much anybody who walks on the planet.
Yep.
From processing it and getting your foot to actually move, that is what's different. And I believe it comes down to the subconscious ability to be completely relaxed and focused and just let your body react without you having to actually do it. I don't hit the throttle consciously. It's a subconscious reaction. And then it just carries through the whole run. And again, I've been doing it a long time. You know, one thing I said, don't retire me yet for it, because the truth is the young guns, you know, some of them come out of the box quick, but in our sport, we learn 3 seconds at a time. You can't practice,
right.
Can't roll the car out. It's too expensive. And as I've gotten older and more experience in these cars, I've gotten better. I've gotten quicker. And I think, you know, the good thing for me is we're a basketball player at 45 years old, although I guess not Tom Brady. I think he's almost 45. He's still going. God bless him. But in our sport at 45, you know, you're at the early side of the best part of your career. And we got a pretty good run, whereas, you know, in basketball at 45, you're probably at home on the couch. Whereas in our sport, it's much more mental, less physical. And we can perform at an extremely high level, you know, very late into our career.
Is that why John Force is so competitive these
John
days?
John is an out-of-body phenom. I don't know how he does it at his age. For him to get in that car, I was Monday, we were testing, and I was at the start line with Antron Brown. And we both looked at each other and said, can you even imagine how many runs that guy has in that car? And at his age, it's remarkable. Now, John will be the first to tell you he's fallen off from his prime. But at his age, for him to compete at the level he competes at in that race car, it's unbelievable. I mean, it truly is unbelievable. And people always love to ask me who I like to race the most. And I don't care how old he is. It's John Force. It'll always be John Force. I mean, he is the, you know, the gold standard in our sport. And when you get a chance to pull up next to him and compete against the guy, I mean, if you can't get up for that race, you might as well just hang up your fire suit and go home. But yeah, no, he still does an exceptional job in that race car, and he's a contender every single race, even at his age.
Yeah, and he's still wearing the same fire suit, right?
I think he is.
Yeah, no, it's great. If people want to learn more about your kind of racing and Bob Tasca Racing in particular, where can they go to learn more about it?
Well, I mean, you go to NHRA.com. That's our sanctioning body. It's got great information on it. Or you can look me up on social media. You know, I'm on Tasker3 on Twitter, Bob Tasker on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. My kids even got me on, what is it called? I think TikTok or whatever.
TikTok,
it is.
Okay.
So you know, I'm big on social media. I like to share a lot of, you know, behind the scenes experience. So feel free to reach out on any of the social media platforms and on the sites, obviously, as well.
Fantastic. Bob, thanks for taking some time out and joining us on AAA Car Conversations with.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.